ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम भद्रं कन्ने विश्वयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्यावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्तु निराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ओम शांति 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 यस्या मतम तस्य मतम मतम यस्य न वेदसः अविज्ञातं विजानताम् विज्ञातम अविजानताम् This second part of Kena Upanishad begins with the mantra which has the paradoxical language of the student, which means initially the whole teaching is from the beginning, from the first part onwards. The whole teaching has been in the form of a dialogue. The whole teaching in the form of a dialogue between the teacher and the student is also what? Is in the Upanishad only. But still the teaching is given as a mouthpiece of the teacher. Which means the teaching comes through the teacher's voice. And in that, the teacher also presented his teaching in a paradoxical language. The student also expressed his understanding in his paradoxical language. The one who says he knows, he does not know. One who does not know, knows. Those who know, do not know. Those who say that they know, they do not know. Those who do not know, they know. This, the teacher also first said in his, viditat aviditat, adi. And the teacher also said that. Then the student also said what? He replied in his answer, he confirmed the same thing. Now Shruti, without the teaching, without giving the teaching as the teaching from the teacher's mouth, and Shruti herself is presenting her paradoxical in her own language, presents the paradoxical, same thing, teaching. The teacher's is over, the student's is over, and the Shruti, without using it, the teaching as the mouthpiece of the teacher, Shruti is presenting as her, it's her own language. Upanishad. In her own language means what? Doesn't use the teacher here or the student here. Not in a dialogue, but it Shruti sums up the content of the dialogue between the teacher and the student. This mantra. Is it clear? And here also it is this way, Sishya Acharya Samvadat Pratinivritya. Sishya Acharya Samvadat Pratinivritya means having left aside the dialogue between the teacher and the student, which means without presenting the teaching through the mouth of the teacher, the Shruti is presenting the teacher as it in its own language. Svena Rupena Shrutihi Samasta Samvada Nivrittam Arthameva Bodhayati. ஆக்சுவலி சமஸ்த சம்வாத நிர்வத்தம் அர்த்தமேவ போதயதி. What has been arrived at as the final conclusion through the discussion alone is repeat, you know, the Shruti he teaches again in this. How? Yasya amatam tasya matam. For whom Brahman is unknown, for him Brahman is known actually. மதம் யஸ்ய ந ச வேதசா, த ஒன் ஃபார் ஹூம் பிரம்மன் இஸ் நோன் ஹி டஸ் நாட் நோ, இஸ் தி ஃபஸ்ட் ஹாஃப் ஆஃப் தி மந்த்ரா. லெட் அஸ் சீ ஹியர். சோ ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ஹி பிகின்ஸ் ஹிஸ் டி கமெண்ட்ரி. சங்கரா பிகின்ஸ் ஹிஸ் கமெண்ட்ரி ஆன் தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் லைன் விச் யூ ஆல்ரெடி சீன். ஐ வில் நாட் கோ பேக் டு தி எக்ஸ்பிளனேஷன் விச் ஐ கேவ் லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ். இஸ் இட் வில் சீ ஹியர் வாட் டஸ் இட் மீன் ஹியர். When the teacher said or the student said, what is the paradoxical language here? The one who says he knows does not know, the one who knows does not know, the one who does not know knows, means the one for whom Brahman is not an object, one who knows Brahman not as an object but as the very subject. The one who does not, for him, one who knows Brahman not as an object but as the very subject, he knows. The one for whom Brahman is known as an object, he does not know. That is what is implied by this paradoxical statement. Which means, I explained last class, how Brahman is neither the object nor the subject for the knower. Brahman is the very swarupam of the knower. When I say Brahman is neither the subject nor the object, that's fine. But Brahman is known as the subject, that you should know. Once the person knows Brahman as the subject, he knows Brahman is not the subject. Is as very, very careful, isn't it? As the subject. So that is what is again reproduced by the, represented by the Shruti here. That we have already seen the first line. We'll quickly read and fast and go ahead. Yasya Brahma Vidaha Amatam Avijnatam Aviditam Brahma Iti Matam Abhiprayaha Nischayaha. The one for whom there's conviction, nischayaha, abhipraya, one matha means conviction, one matha means vidita, known, okay? The one for whom there's a conviction that, you know, Brahman is not the known, Brahman is not the object of knowledge. The one for whom Brahman is not the object of knowledge. தஸ்ய மதம் ஞாதம் சம்யக் ஞாதம் சம்யக் பிரம்ம இத்தி அபிப்ராய. ஃபார் ஹிம் பிரம்மன் இஸ் ரியலி சம்திங் அண்டர்ஸ்டுட் வெரி கிளியர்லி, விச் மீன்ஸ் ஹிஸ் விஷன் ஆஃப் தி ரியாலிட்டி இஸ் பர்ஃபெக்ட், டவுட் ஃப்ரீ அண்ட் கிளியர். நோ பிரம்ம சம்யக் ஞாதம் சம்யக் பிரம்ம, த ஒன் ஃபார் ஹூம் பிரம்மன் இஸ், one for whom there's a conviction that Brahman is not the known object. Brahman is not an object of knowledge. Now, such a person's vision is doubt-free, clear vision. Tasya punaha matam jnatam viditam matam jnatam viditam maya brahma iti நிச்சயா ந வேதயேவ சஹ ந ப்ரஹ்ம விஜானாதி சஹ. தி ஒன் ஃபார் ஹூம் தெர் இஸ் அ கன்விக்ஷன், எஸ் ஐ நோ பிரம்மன், ஐ நோ பிரம்மன், விச் மீன்ஸ் ஃபார் ஹிம் தி பிரம்மன் இஸ் அன் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ், then definitely he does not know Brahman at all. Does not know Brahman at all. Okay, this is the meaning of the first half of the mantra. Is it clear? This is where we left last class. I have to continue now. In this context, I explained very clearly. Using the example of light and opaque things, I explained how the illumined is dependent on the illumination. The illumined itself implies the illumination being there inevitably. The illumination implies the illuminated being there. And from there you understand there is illuminated, there is illumination, there is the illumined. At the same time, the illuminator, illumination and the illumined are physically inseparable but cognitively distinguishable, and you can distinguish the illuminator. By distinguishing the illuminator, you can search for who the illuminator is, what this illuminator is. Then you arrive at the light being, the very sarupam of the illuminator. That arriving at the light being the sarupam of illuminator is not fully knowing the illuminator as, okay? Only arriving at illuminator, the sarupam of the light as the sarupam of the illuminator, which is a recognition of the light being the sarupam of the illuminator. Is it? That is what recognition of the sarup light being neither the subject nor the object of illumination. But still, how is it recognized? Recognized as the sarupam of the illuminator, as a subject of illumination, isn't it? Not as an object of illumination. The example I gave in between to make it very clear, isn't it? Which similarly, Atma, Brahman, the consciousness, is never an object of knowledge. Therefore, the one who says, I know Brahman, for him Brahman is an object of knowledge, he does not know. Whereas the one for whom Brahman is known as the subject of knowledge, a very sarupam of the knower, for him Brahman is known. He knows Brahman very clearly. This is the teaching of the first half of the mantra. This is over. Now we have to come to the next. This is where we have to start actually. Today's class. Sa. So here sa means the third person singular pronoun, which is feminine gender pronoun. Therefore, it should be taken as a pronoun implying shrutihi. Sa means she. She means who here? Shruti. Sa. Vidvat avidushor yathoktau pakshau avadharayati. Avijnatam, amatam, aviditam, eva brahma. Vijanatam, samyak viditavatam, ityetat. So, now the Shruti says here, sa avadharayati. Sa avadharayati, who avadharayati? Sa means she, this Shruti mantra. By itself, Shruti by herself, the Veda, Upanishad by herself, is reinforces, avadharayati, makes the student reassertain, or reinforces by repeating the same teaching in the second line. Because we all might question, why is Shruti repeating? Repetition is called punarukti doshaha. The error of repetition in literature is always pointed out. It's an error. You repeat something, what has been said once is repeated. It is an error of repetition. Punarukti doshaha. So, can we ask now, Shruti also has that error? No. Whenever Shruti repeats, we should not take it as a punarukti doshaha. It is for, repetition is for reinforcement. So, sa, Shrutihi, in the second line, the second half of the mantra, what has been said earlier, what has been said earlier, the two views have been presented. What are two views? Two views of the one who has known completely, the wise person, the one who has not understood the teaching completely. So, here, Vidvat means the wise person. Vidwan's view. So, Pakshahe means view, contention. There's a Vidwan's view, which is a vision of the truth. And Avidushaha view, which is the contention of, not the vision, but the contention of the ignorant person. Ignorant means what? He is not a totally illiterate ignorant person. The one who is exposed to the Shastra. Here, Vidwan, Avidwan, both are the people who are exposed to the study of the Shastra. But the one who has understood completely, one has a clear vision of the teaching, the one who has not understood completely. Okay? The person of incomplete understanding is called Avidush, Avidwan. The person of complete understanding, clear understanding is called Vidwan. Isn't it? So this Vidvad Avidushoho Pakshav means two different views, the vision and the view of the wise person and the person of incomplete understanding, Yatha Uktav, which have been already presented in the first sentence, first half of the mantra. The Shruti reinforces in the second half of the mantra. Is it clear? Yathoktau pakshau avadharayati. Yathoktau pakshau avadharayati. Pakshau avadharayati. And what is that? What has been said earlier? Look at this. Avijnatam. Amatam. Aviditam. Eva. Brahma. Vijanatam. See, avijnatam, amatam, aviditam. All the words are synonyms. Amatam, avijnatam, aviditam means unknown. What is unknown? Brahman. Aviditam eva Brahma. Definitely Brahman is not known. Not known means what? Not the known. Not known means not the known. Not the known means what? Not an object. Is it? Definitely Brahman is not the known, unknown, not an object of knowledge for Vijanatam, for people of clear vision, right understanding, complete understanding. So, Shruti, here Upanishad Shankara says, Samyak Viditavatam. Samyak Viditavatam means what? Vijanatam. Vijanatam means what? It's a, for those who know completely, those who understood clearly, for them, Brahman is definitely not the object of knowledge. Which has been said already. Second half of the mantra also Shruti repeats. For what? For reinforcement. Then, Vijnatam Viditam Brahma Avijanatam. Vijnatam Viditam Brahma Avijanatam. Asamyak Darshinam. Asamyak Darshi means what? Asamyak Darshi means the one who is of incomplete, half-baked understanding. Paramatma says half-cooked understanding. Isn't it? We say half-baked, isn't it? understanding. For asamyak darshi, which means the person has not understood the Shastra's vision clearly, has not really, he has made an effort, he is already in the process of studying, but has not understood the teaching correctly. Okay, so the plural word for asamyak darshinam, for people of incomplete understanding, misunderstanding, wrong understanding, for them, Brahma is what? Is known. Brahman is known, which means Brahman is known as an object. For them, Brahman becomes the object of knowledge. Is it? And who are those people? Who are those people of incomplete understanding? That is said here, Indriya Mano Buddhishu Eva Atma Darshinam. Indriya Mano Buddhishu Eva Atma Darshinam Ityartaha. So these people of incomplete understanding are those who still have Aham Buddhihi, Atma Buddhihi, I sense, or identity, I sense in the body, mind sense complex, who still have identity with the body, mind sense complex. For him, where is the Atma Buddhihi? Where is the I sense? Still in the Deha, Manaha, Indriyadishu. No? He says, Indriya Mano Buddhishu. May not be in the body, but still what? Indriya Mano Buddhishu. Still I sense is where? In the sense organs, in the mind and intellect. Atma Darshinam Ittartaha. Okay, so he's making it very clear. Still they have identity with the body, mind, sense complex, which means still they have I sense in the sense, mind and sense organs, intellect, etc. Which means still they have Atma Buddhi in Anatma. They still have Atma Buddhi in Anatma. They have not shifted the I sense cognitively from Anatma to Atma. Still they have not, because for them Brahman is the known. Brahman is an object of knowledge. Because somewhere still they have I sense in the Anatma, especially in the mind. Or not in the I sense, especially in the what now? For them still the Brahman is what? They mistake the some mind, some intellect, no? They have the some experience, spiritual experience, which happens as a result of their hard work of meditation, which is an attribute of the mind, antakaranam, which is mistaken for the Brahman. Which means, is it clear now? And how Shankara explains here, in the following sentence he says, this error of taking the Anatma for Atma, or mistaking the saying that Brahman is an object of knowledge, taking the Anatma mind for Atma, or some experience for Brahman. See, when you mistake some special experience when you have, people really, you know, when you miss it's possible for one to have some experience as a result of practice of meditation. And sometimes one may miss because that experience is something very new, which they never had before, and which is also inexplicable, which can be cross-checked also. Because Brahman also inexplicable, and experience also inexplicable, non-refutable. I cannot say, no, you had experience, that is not. Because you had it. I cannot deny your experience. nor can you prove your experience to me, which is very, which you never had before, which you had it. You cannot deny your own perception, isn't it? It is, that is, experience is real. Experience is there. Therefore, that experience can be also, what now, mistaken for Brahma. And what experience? Any experience is an attribute of the antahkaranam. It is buddhihi, it's antahkaranam, mind only. Then when they mistake that, then the experience becomes what? Experience is mistaken for Brahman means, for the Brahman is object of knowledge. Which means, where is the Atma Buddhi? What is Atma for them? That experience. Atma is what now? The mind. The attribute of the mind, the experience. So Brahman, the Atma, is mistaken for what? The experience, which is the attribute of the mind. Atma is mistaken for that experience, then Brahman becomes what? The object. Still, where is the Atma Buddhi? Where is the essence? Where is Atma Buddhi for them? Still in Anatma only. That's called what now? Indriya Mano Buddhisha Atma Darshinam. For such people, for whom Atma Buddhi, the Atma is mistaken for the experience, which is an attribute of the mind. For them, Brahman is what? The object of knowledge. Such people do not know really Brahman. So, general statement. Vijnatam avijanatam. Avijnatam vijanatam. What does the sentence mean here? What a general meaning of the sentence? Those who know, do not know. Those who do not know, know. So those who do not know, those who know, do not know. Brahman. Those who do not know, know Brahman. Those who do not know Brahman means. Those who do not know means what? Those who are ignorant. See, come to the point here. Those who are ignorant. Those who are ignorant means, the whole world is full of whom? the entire world is of ignorant people only. All of them, most now, all the people are ignorant people only. Any Tom, Dick, Harry is ignorant only. Ignorant means it includes what? All the people in general. So, for people who are, all the people who are in general, all the ignorant people who are here in the world, all of them should not be mistaken here. Maybe because they don't even know there is such a word called Brahma. They are not interested in knowing Brahman. They are not exposed to study of the scripture. They are not interested in study of Shastram also. They do not bother about Purusharthan or anything. Simple, innocent, ignorant people who live in the country, in this world, all of them come under the category of ignorant only. Avijanantaha Purushaha Janaha only. Therefore, don't think we are not talking about, because you raise the question, how can you say Brahman is, how can you say all the ignorant people? Avijanatam means avijanantaha janaha for them, tesham. Those who do not know Brahman. Which mean, do you include all the people? This Hindi Shruti, Shankara presents a Purva Paksha. The Purva Paksha is presented, objection is presented here, raised here. Do you mean all those people who are, ignorant? We are talking about all those ignorant people in general. We are talking about the people who do not know here means people of incomplete understanding, who are exposed to the study of the Shastram, who know the word Brahma, who know what they are studying the Shastram for, who know what is the knowledge of Brahman required for. Such people, who are exposed to the study of the Shastram, not the illiterate, ignorant people, But a so-called literate who are exposed to study of Shastra, those people alone, hear what now, are mentioned here. Okay, as avijanantaha, as ignorant, voice the unwise, otherwise. But he mentions in the next sentence, natu atyantameva avyutpanna buddhinam. Atyantameva avyutpanna buddhayaha means what? People who are completely ignorant and illiterate, uninformed, not those people. We are talking about those people. But who here? Atyantameva avyutpanna buddhayaha means completely illiterate, uninformed people. But not those people. Vyutpanna buddhihi means literate, highly informed. Vyutpanna buddhihi. Avyutpanna buddhihi means what? Totally illiterate, uninformed. So when we say avijanantaha, avijanatam, for the unwise, otherwise ignorant people, for whom Brahman is an object of knowledge, the people for whom Brahman is an object of knowledge, Brahman is the known, they do not know. When you say those people who do not know, who are those people? They are not totally illiterate, uninformed people. Who are people who are also exposed to the study of the Shastra, who are also so-called literate people. But what is lacking? They do not have samyak darshanam, which means they do not have clear understanding of the teaching. For them alone, Brahman becomes the object of knowledge. Is it clear? We'll go to the next line now. Nahi tesham vijnatam asmabihi brahma iti matihi bhavati. Tesham here means what? Never such an understanding or such a notion occurs for those people in their minds that no, Brahman is known for us. No, the illiterate people, for the illiterate people, the notion doesn't come, oh, Brahman is the known for us. Brahman is the known. This notion comes for whom? For the illiterate or so-called literate? The so-called literate people only. Isn't it? Brahman is the known. Is it clear now? Therefore, when Shruti talks about the avijanatam, it does not talk about the people of people who are not exposed to study of the Shastram at all. It does talk about the people who are informed, who are literate, but who do not have the samyak darshanam, clear understanding, and a complete understanding. Then it explained further, indriya, mano buddhi, upadishu, indriya mano buddhi upadishu, indriya mano buddhi upadishu, atma darshinam tu, indriya mano buddhi upadishu, atma darshinam tu, brahma upadhi vivekanur palambhat. Brahma upadhi viveka anupalambhat buddhyadi upadescha vijnatatvat viditam brahma iti upapadyate brantihi iti ityataha asamyak darshanam purapakshatvena upanyasyate விஜ்ஞாதம் அபிஜானதாம் இதி. Sorry, I had to read it fully, okay? See here, Indriya Manobuddhi Upadishu Atma Darshinaha means what? Those who have identity with the mind, sense organs, intellect, etc. What does it mean? Those who still take the, till Atma Buddhi, Atma is still for them what the manaha, intellect, mind and sense organs only. For such people, for whom the mind and sense organs are the Atma, Brahma Upadhi Viveka Anupalambhat. Brahma Upadhi Viveka Anupalambhat means what? Brahma means Atma. Upadhi is what? Anatma. Atma Anatma Aviveka Anupalambhat. Sorry, Viveka Anupalambhat. Due to their incapacity to appreciate the discriminative, no, between the Atma and Anatma, they still are not able to distinguish what? Atma and Anatma. There's no, they're not able to distinguish.
Anupalambhat.
Yeah. Not available. Okay. Due to the unavailability of the discriminative understanding of Brahman and the Upadhi. What is Upadhi? Upadhi is medium of operation. The body, mind, intellect, sense organs, or what? Medium of operation. I mean, the medium through which there is operation is Upadhi, isn't it? Which is Anatma. So, Atma, Brahma stands for Atma, Upadhi, Anatma. Atma, Anatma, Viveka, Anupalambhat. They lack what? Lacking also you can say Anupalambha. Due to the lack of discriminative understanding between Atma and Atma, Brahman and Upadhi. See, the medium of operation is different from the operator of the instruments. Isn't it? Due to that lack of understanding, what happens? Buddhyadi upadischa. Buddhyadi upadischa vijnatatvat. And what is the intellect here? What is the mind here? Upadhi. Mind, see, you take the intellect as a, antakkanam as a total upadhi. Antakkanam. The intellect and mind together is what? Antakkanam, isn't it? The antakkanam, the mind as a whole, is what? Is a medium of operation. The medium through which, is it? it operates. Which means, the medium of through that upadhescha, the upadhi is what? Object of knowledge or not? Antakkanam, the mind as a whole, is upadhi, and which is an object of knowledge. He says, Buddhyadi upadehe cha vijnatatvat. Vijnatatvam means what now? Buddhyadi upadhi is what? Is an object of knowledge. Due to the buddhyadi upadhi being an object of knowledge. Viditam brahma iti upapadyate. Oh, Brahman is known. They arrive at the conclusion, the Brahman is known, known to me or known to us. Brahman is known by us, which means Brahman is object of knowledge. I know Brahman, we know Brahman. They say very clear, boldly, you know, how Brahman becomes the known for them. Why? Because Buddhi is what? Antakkanam is what? An object of knowledge. Antakaram is an object of knowledge. And therefore what? And they have Atabuddhi where? In the Antakaranam. Therefore, Brahman becomes what? The object of knowledge. The question is raised here. How come the people who are exposed to the study of the Shastram, they are not totally avyutpanna buddhayaha? They are totally illiterate, ignorant people. They are not exposed to the study of the Shastram. Still, how come Brahman becomes an object of knowledge for them? How do they say that Brahman is an object of knowledge? Why can't they also say like other people, Brahman is not an object of knowledge, Brahman is known, recognized as a subject of knowledge. Why can't they say that? Why this doubt comes? Why this confusion comes? Why does they are also very firm in saying that we know Brahman. I know Brahman. Which means for them Brahman is object of knowledge because he says buddhyadi upadehe viditattvat. Buddhyadi upadi is what? Is an object of knowledge. Because buddhi, the antahkaranam, the very subtle, isn't it? The very subtle instrument of operation, the medium of operation, being an object of knowledge. And their aham buddhihi, they negated it in body easily. They negated the sense organs also easily. Were they not able to shift the, isn't it? They still have what? Still have the aham buddhihi, atma buddhihi still in where? In the mind. Antakarna. Antakarna is an object of knowledge. Therefore, they mistake what? Brahman as an object of knowledge. For them, Brahman becomes the object of knowledge because they mistake buddhi for the atma. They mistake the buddhi for the atma. How? Because not simply. When they practice, here you have to introduce this. People are exposed to this teaching. If they are given to the practice of meditation. Meditation, you know, in due course of meditation, it is very natural, it is possible for people to have some different experiences. Extraordinary experiences. And those experiences are what? They mistake them for spiritual experiences because they are not available for ordinary, you know, efforts. For extraordinary effort of meditation, the extraordinary experience is possible for them to have. And such experiences are also non-deniable, inexplicable, unprovable. No? They are not provable experience, nor are they deniable experiences. But at the same time, they are inexplicable also. Therefore, they cannot have a cross-check also about experience. I have this experience. Because the teaching also is about now, Brahman is always inexplicable. Anirvachaniyam Brahma. Isn't it? Therefore, this inexplicable inexplicable and the new experience which was not there before, which is only now, therefore what is that experience? Therefore that experience is mistaken for Brahma. Which means what is that experience? Experience, any experience is the attribute of the antahkaranam. What is atma for them? Their experience is atma. Experience is Brahma. Why? Because subtle. Therefore, and that experience is what? Object of knowledge. Therefore, the experience which is an attribute of antahkaranam is mistaken for atma. And the antakkanam being object of knowledge, Atma Brahman also is what? Becomes the known for the people of incomplete understanding. So he repeats here, Indriya Mano Buddhi Upadishu Atma Darshinam Tu Brahma Upadhi Viveka Anupalambhat Buddhyadi Upadescha Vijnatatvat Viditam Brahma Iti Upapadyate. Is it clear now? I will explain to you already in English. Brantihi Vitam Brahma iti upapadyate, it's called Brantihi. Brantihi means what? Confusion. It's the state of mind. A given experience is a given state of mind. Is mistaken for the Atma Brahma. And they are not able to distinguish that state of mind, is it, as an upadhi. They are not able to discern, they are not able to have discrimination between Brahma, the knower Brahma, and the experience, the object known. Because here you have to remember what? The illuminator and the illumination are physically inseparable. Isn't it? Physically inseparable. So the experiencer and the experience are physically inseparable. The knower and the knowledge are physically inseparable. The experience is what here? Experience also is the experienced. Subtle experienced, isn't it? You talk about Triputi, experiencer, experience and the experienced. The experience also is what? The experienced only. Because due to the physical inseparability of the experiencer and the experience, just as the illuminator and the illumination, isn't it? Illumination you understand only from the standpoint of the illumined. Is it? But here subtle experience, isn't it? The meditation as a result of meditation, the experience. That is why Brahma Upadhi Viveka Anupalambhat. The experiencer and the experience. Experience is what? Antakkaranam. The state of mind. State of mind is what? Upadhi. Is it? The Viveka Anupalambhat. Due to their lack of discrimination between the illuminator and the illumined, the knower and the known, experience the experience, experiencer and the experience. And the experience being an object of knowledge. Experience itself being what? Object of knowledge. Experience itself is an object of experience. Isn't it? When they mistake the experience for the Atma, for them, Atma, Brahman becomes the known object of experience. For this teaching, I gave the explanation last class. Ataha, therefore, confusion, okay? Ataha, therefore, asamyak darshanam purapakshatvena upanyasyate. Sruti, what does it do? Why does Rishna, the purpose, you may ask this question. Purapaksham means what? Objection. As an objection, purapakshatvena upanyasyate means Shrutihi. You may ask this question, even though already what is said in the first line, what is taught in the first line, first half of the mantra, is repeated in the second half of the mantra for reinforcement, even though you say, the reinforcement is for what? To answer this Purapaksha. Reinforcement is for answering the Purapaksha. What is the Purapaksha? When you say the Vigyan people do not mean, Vigyan for the Vigyan people, Brahman is the known means, that we do not mean all the illiterate Vigyan people. We mean people of improper understanding. To explain this alone, there is a repetition is there for reinforcement, even to have clear understanding, even for avoiding this as an he creates this even as an answer for such a Purapaksha. Vijnatam avijanatam iti. It is repeated. The Brahman is known for the ignorant people. Now, this is the, from here ends the one way of explanation for the second half of the mantra. Okay? There is another explanation for the second half of the mantra. What is another explanation? Shankara says, Athava, or else, you can take the second half of the mantra, which is the repetition for reinforcement, in another sense. Athava, or else, you can take this way also. What is that other way? He says, Hetvartaha. Hetvartaha means, it is presented as Hetuhu. The second half of the mantra is presented as repeated for reinforcement, but it is presented as a Hetuhu. Hetuhu means what? Reasoning. So you have to reason out, then you have to arrive at the conclusion. So this is the Hetuhu means reasoning. See, for any sadhyam, sadhyam means the conclusion, final conclusion arrived at is called sadhyam in this context. And for which you had to present what? Some reasoning. This is how the reasoning is to be there. Hetuhu means reasoning. So Hetvartaha, the second half of the mantra, wherein what has been said before is repeated for the avadharanam, reinforcing. Is it for reinforcement? That second sentence is Hetvartaha, is for the purpose of reasoning. It is presented as a reasoning. Hetvartaha. What is presented as a reasoning? Look at this. Uttarardha. Uttarardha means what now? Next half. Second half of this Upanishad. Sorry, second half of this mantra. Second line of this mantra, third mantra. What is second line of this mantra? Avijnatam vijanatam, vijnatam avijanatam. This sentence second half of the mantra is presented here. For what? As a reasoning. Shankara lives here. Which means what? He has now given two meanings. What is the first meaning? Second sentence is there? Second sentence is repetition of what has been said earlier for reinforcement. One meaning, which he explained till now. The second meaning is, it is for reasoning. It is taken as a reasoning. Second half of the mantra should be taken as a reasoning. He says that, then he stops. And this is how we have to take the help of Anandagrihi. To understand the last sentence of Adishankaracharya Bhagavatpada's Bhashyam, we need the help of Anandagrihi. What does Anandagrihi say here? The second half of the sentence to be taken as reasoning, so that the first sentence, what is present with the first sentence, can be taken as a sadhyam. It is hetuhu, that is sadhyam. Sadhyam means the conclusion arrived at.
Sadhyam.
Then you won't say it's repetition also. So, vijanatam avijnatam vijanatam. Brahman is unknown for those who know, which means Brahman is the unknown, not an object of knowledge, for the people who know. That should be taken as what here he says. It gives us, it should be taken as, you know, experience, it is given as an example using our own experience. This is Anandagiri's commentary upon this last verse of Shankaracharya. Shankara's commentary. See, using our own experience, taking our own experience as an example, by analyzing our own experience, example here, we have to arrive at this conclusion. So, vijanatam means for those who are objectifying. Vijanatam means what? For those people who are objectifying, who are experiencing, for who are knowing. The present tense and present continuous tense. For those people who are knowing, which means who are objectifying, who are experiencing, what? The dream. When a person is in sleep and when he is experiencing the dream, for the one who is experiencing the dream, for the one who is objectifying the dream, for him, the adhishtanam, the knower, the subject, isn't it? The truth, the reality, the adhishtanam of the dream, being the waker, is unknown. Vijanatam avijnatam. Vijanan here should be, this present active participle should be taken as here what? The one who objectifies. The one who experiences. The one who perceives. For those people, see, use your own experience as an example. And you arrive at this, isn't it? There is a reasoning here. For those people who are objectifying, experiencing the dream, the adhishtanam, the truth of the dream, being the knower, the location, locus of the dream being the knower, the waker, is not known. Is it clear? Whereas the one, the after waking up from sleep, those when the person is not anymore objectifying the dream, anymore perceiving the dream, anymore experiencing the dream, for him, what? Avijanatam, for the people who are not objectifying the dream, for them, who are the people who are not objectifying the dream anymore? Those who are awake, isn't it? For them, the waker is known. Waker is known as the self. I am, I the self am the waker, the adhishtanam of for the entire dream. Adhishtanam means what? The location of the dream, the existence of the dream. When you're those who are experiencing the dream, for them, the truth of the dream, the waker, is unknown. Avijnatam, vijanatam. Avijanatam, for those who are not objectifying the dream, for them, waker, the self being the waker, the self, the waker being the adhishtanam is known. Is it clear? This is what the analyzing your experience. This is what now an example. But this analysis of your experience itself is an example. This is what reasoning, hetuhu. And from this hetuhu, what do you arrive at? Similarly, in the same way, when you're experiencing this world, when the those people who are experiencing, objectifying the experiences, when they are objectifying the experiences, when they are objectifying the world, they're experiencing the world, then they do not know adhishtanam of what is being experienced being the Atma. Remaining in sleep of ignorance. When you wake up from sleep of ignorance alone, you see adhishtanam of all that you are experiencing, all the experienced and the experiences being the Atma, adhishtanam being Atma or Brahman becomes very clear. Is it clear? This is the asadhyam. Use the dream example as a reasoning. So the dream is, analysis of the dream experience is it hidden, given as a reasoning by second sentence, half of the mantra. And what do you arrive at? Similarly, what is that sadhyam? What is that the conclusion you arrive at? Similarly, when you remain ignorant, in sleep of ignorance, you are experiencing the world, objectifying the world, not knowing the truth of the experienced world being the very experiencer, the Atma Brahma. When you wake up from sleep of ignorance, then you see what? You see the Atma being the adhishtanam for the experienced and the experiences. This is another way of seeing the meaning of second sentence. The Athava. Is it clear or not? Because Vijanan is an active present participle. The Vijanatam is a possessive plural of Vijanan. Shashti Bahuvachanam. Of Vijanana Shabdaha. Actually, Takarantaha Pullingha Vijanata Shabdaha. So it becomes Vijanan, Vijanantau, Vijanataha, Vijanantaha. And it comes. So Vijanataha, Vijanatoho, Vijanatam is a plural form. For those who know.
I understand what you explained. Are we saying that second half is for us to actively reflect on, or?
No, here you can see it other way also. You take it as a reasoning. It's given as a hetu. It's for reasoning. For you to reason. How will you reason? You need an example. What is the example here? Your own experience. What is the experience? Dream experience. That Shakyamuni doesn't say. He leaves it. And what is the hetu here? How should I take it? So Anandagiri comes and tells. So here we have to take a little bit of Anandagiri's explanation for understanding what Shankara leaves as hetvartaha. Second line is meant for reasoning. So that the first line can be taken as the conclusion you arrived at through reasoning. So sadhyam. Hetuhu sadhyam. So that you won't complain again. Repetition for, reinforcement.
And
that means Shankar Bhagatpada's expectation of student is what? Very high. We should just know, hetvartaha. Then we have to think, then Anandagiri comes for people like us. Come on, hetuhu means reasoning. What is reasoning for? You can't just reason something, you need something to hold on to reason. This example. What example? Take your own dream. What is the dream? What you experience in day-to-day life. And this nobody can, make you go against your reasoning here. That you are 100% sure when you are dreaming, you are objectifying the dream world. But as you are objectifying the dream world, when you are perceiving, experiencing the dream world, you do not know. The adhishtanam, the support, the substratum, the truth, the reality, the locus, the existence of the whole dream, dreamer and the dreamt, isn't it? Being the very waker, the self, yourself, you are the waker, and you, the waker yourself, are the adhishtanam for the whole dream experience. That you do not know when you are dreaming. That's why vijanatam avijnatam. For the dreamers, the waker being the locus for the dream experience is not known. Whereas for those who are no more dreaming, which means for those who are awake, who have woken up from sleep and dream, then no more, for them also dream experience is still there. Isn't it? But now experience became, they are not objectifying the dream anymore. When you are dreaming, you are objectifying the dream. On waking up from sleep, you remember the dream, you are not objectifying the dream. You cannot objectify the dream anymore on waking up. Why? Dream is you. The whole dream is, dream experience is you, yourself, the waker. Which means the adhishtanam, the existence of the dream, the truth of the dream experience, Being yourself, the waker is known on waking up. When you're objectifying, knowing, the waker by adhishtanam is not known. When you're not objectifying the dream anymore, waker yourself, the waker being adhishtanam is known. Avijanatam vijnatam, vijanatam avijnatam. This is the experience you have. This experience, now you have analyzed. This is what is called reasoning, hetuhu. With this reasoning, you extend this reasoning to this, the meaning of the first sentence. Extend this. When you extend this, you understand, when you are objectifying this universe, you do not know yourself, the Atma, the consciousness, Brahman, being the very adhishtanam of the truth of this universe. Isn't it? But on waking up from sleep of ignorance, you know. What do you know? Isn't it? Atma is not an object. The whole adhishtanam is what? Of the whole is none other than myself, the knower, the Atma, the consciousness. This is the, which means, when you say adhishtanam of the whole known is the knower, myself, that knower is Atma, Brahman, when you understand, you recognize for you Atma, Brahman is the object or the subject. Atma, you recognize as the subject. Even though your clear vision is Atma, Brahman, the consciousness is neither the subject nor the object, but you recognize Brahman as the swarupam of the knower, the subject of knowledge, not as an object. Is it clear? For which you should remember that simple example of light and the opaque.
As you work on it, that's clear, but it isn't happening. It doesn't, the recognition is not occurring.
That is why, when you understand itself, when you clearly understand, then when you contemplate upon this, what you have understood, definitely you will not get carried away by any experience. Your contemplation, that's why contemplation should be preceded by clear understanding. It's called mananam, isn't it? What happens? The nidhyasanam, when people, how can they say that we are contemplative if they have not clear understanding first of all? What, see, the understanding itself is not there. Isn't it? Of course, there's enhanced understanding. See, you are not totally avipanna buddhayaha. You are not totally illiterate, ignorant person. It does not mean that we are all of complete understanding. It is addressed for whom now? It is, Upanishad is not for those who are not all interested in Upanishad, isn't it? It is for people who are interested in Upanishad, but still who are still struggling to get that, arrive at the vision of the Upanishad, which means it's the bounden duty of Upanishad to make it very clear that we don't misunderstand anything. Who will help us to avoid misunderstanding? The problem is, see, if when you do not study at all, it's a different question. When you study, you have the right understanding. It is possible for us to have the wrong understanding, misunderstanding. Who will help us to avoid that? Upanishad herself has to help us. That is why Nididhyasana alone will really settle our, solve our actual, isn't it, our problem. But Nididhyasana is impossible without having the right understanding of the teaching. So the teaching, the more you understand, the more you study, the Shravanam itself simultaneously become the Nididhyasana also. But still it's not adequate, isn't it? You want it overnight. See, only in the class, you whole attention is brought to the teaching. Even though you know the value of the study, value of the teaching, so you come all the way. You know, you have a precious time and energy you spare and sit here. At the same time, once, how much are we dwelling on the same? Once you leave the place. Of course we are dwelling, but how much? Are there things which distract our minds or not? Attention is dragged. This ascertainment needs constant attention. Of course we are placing. It does not mean we have to pay attention constantly at the cost of all important things in life also. Not possible, isn't it? All the needful we do ultimately for this only, for focusing on this.
So I have a question. Is it possible to be the dreamer and the waker at the same time?
In dream, with reference to experience, it is not possible. With reference to knowledge, it is possible. That is what the Shastram teaches. There is, no, you see, waking up from sleep of ignorance is not really waking up from sleep, isn't it? It's likened to, it's an example. When you're dreaming, you can never be the waker. You are a dreamer. That is not possible there. There is an example. But here, in knowledge, when the ignorance is there, your perception is different. In ignorance goes, the perception is different, isn't it? Whereas in knowledge is different.
What is the perception?
Huh?
If you have the knowledge, what would be the perception? Do the two merge, the dreamer and the waker?
There's no dreamer for you. In waker, the dreamer is another than the waker, isn't it? But the dream experience is different. But here,
yeah,
in knowledge, you resolve the knower in truth. It's all purely cognitive. It has not nothing physical here.
Yeah.
Resolution is cognitive. The term resolution itself is something to be understood. The many people, the so-called teachers of Vedanta, they don't use this word. They use all this word merging and things. Because merging is a word which makes, merging is always of two things. One has to merge in the other. When we negate the very second thing being there, how can you use the word merging? That's why you better use the word resolving. And the resolving always cognitive again. Not physical, isn't it? On waking up from dream, you can say, I the waker am. I the waker am. No, was the, before what? I the waker was the dreamer and the dreamt. That you can say on waking up. Not exactly when you're dreaming.
No, I'm talking about when you're dreaming, not when you wake up.
But you know, you yourself know that. You can't call yourself waker when you're dreaming. This is an example. Example should be taken as an example. Should not extend it too much. That's why very careful also. This is another problem. Example should be used as an example. We should not stretch the example more than what, how long it should be stretched. Again, that's why it's very important for one to be exposed to teaching very correctly. Is it clear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
It will not get, give too much of room for you to get confused apart from what I should be teaching.
No, no, I just asked you a question on what you've just been teaching. You use the phrase very often, when you objectify the dream, when you objectify the dream. What do you mean by that? When the dream
is being experienced.
Is an experience. Okay. When you objectify the dream means when the dream is experienced as an object. Yeah?
Yeah.
Or the dream world.
When you're not objectifying means, when you're not experiencing a dream, dream is no more an object of knowledge for the waker.
No.
Isn't it? What was objectified before as an object, that is no more separate from the very waker, is a self. The dreamer and the dreamt, both have been resolved in the waker. The dreamer and the dreamt, both become resolved in the very waker.
But the waker still says, I had a dream.
Don't stretch the example too much. You are stretching like her again. Stretching the example should not be done. On waking up, you are a waker. Where is the dream? Yourself. Where is the dreamer? You. Finished. Stretching the example is very... Is it clear now? So I don't want to confuse too much. I'm not confusing you. I don't want you to get confused by bringing out all your things. Atava hetvartaha uttarardaha avijnatam ityadihi. With this ends the third mantra's meaning. Also. So, the paradoxical expression of the teacher, the teaching, the vision, paradox, the vision of teaching given in the paradoxical language of the teacher, and the vision born as a result of the teaching in the student, which was also expressed in the paradoxical language of the student, have been again further paradoxically presented by the very Shruti, Upanishad. Is it clear now? This made very clear also. Now important, another, the very interesting verse, mantra begins. This one mantra be very, very, very carefully understood. And which is a joy to understand every word of this, the meaning of this mantra. Swamiji loves this mantra always. Pratibodha viditam matam.
Pratibodha viditam matam.
Pratibodha viditam matam.
Pratibodha viditam
matam. Amritatvam hi vindate.
Amritatvam hi vindate.
Atmana vindate viryam.
Atmana vindate viryam.
Vidyaya vindate amritam.
Vidyaya vindate amritam.
Pratibodha viditam. Bhasham will do next class. Let me at least take one sentence, quarter sentence, quarter part of the mantra and talk about it and stop. We'll continue next class. Pratibodha viditam matam. Hereafter, when I do the class, you ask me questions after I stop my class for good. Okay? Pratibodha viditam matam. Or pratibodha viditam. Bodaha pratibodha viditam. In that sentence, bodhaha means knowledge. Like how atma bodhaha, tattva bodhaha. In all of them, bodhaha means what? Knowledge. So bodhaha, knowledge. Cognition. Knowledge. So pratibodha means in every piece of knowledge. Pratibodha, prati stands for every. Pratibodha viditam. In every object illumined, in the different varieties of objects are illumined. The varieties of opaque objects here. The mic, the chair, the table, the sofa, the fan, the pictures, different physical forms, different colors. Every object here is opaque. And every object is different from every other object. Different names and different forms and different words. But every object is what? Every object shines. All the objects shine. So any, all the objects which shine, when you say, every object which shines is what? Illumined. The illumined object alone shines. Every object, illumined object which shines implies what? The illumination. The illuminator being there. And that illuminator is what? The light. Therefore, the illuminator light is choicelessly, self-luminously illumined, isn't it? Self-luminously experienced when every illumined object is experienced. The illumined objects may be many, but what is invariably present, pervading the every illumined in and through? The light. Is it? The light is, the objects illumined are variables. This is different, that is different, isn't it? Variable objects. What is invariably present illuminator? The light is the invariably present, isn't it? The invariably present illuminator is the light in every variable illumined. In every variable illumined opaque object, the invariably present illuminator is one and the same light. Is it clear? This we can say as what? The variable three states of experience. Dream is different from waking. Waking is different from deep sleep state. Each state of experience is nothing but mind. The state of experience is state of mind. The states of mind and states of experience are not two different things. And each state of experience, each state of mind is what? Variable, isn't it? In all the three variable states of mind, variable states of experience, the invariably present experiencer is Atma, the consciousness. Not only that, you understand now, in the waking state itself, is the next step, okay? In waking state itself, what is this state, waking state of mind, if you take the variable states, conditions, variable thoughts. In present waking state of mind, there are variable thoughts. The variable pieces of knowledge. The objects are many experienced in the waking state. So cognitions are also many. Cognitions of objects are many. Perceptions of the objects are many. There's a cognition, there's a chair cognition, book cognition, light cognition, sound cognition, you know, flower cognition, people cognition, instruments cognition, the opaque, the non-living things cognition, living beings cognition. There's so many cognitions. Each cognition is a state, isn't it? A thought, a vrittihi. Each cognition is what? A vritti. The vrittis vary from each other. Cognitions vary from each other. And cognitions come, move also. That is why you're able to, sitting here, as I cognize this, I can say, that is a fan, and this is a mic, and this is a laptop, this is a book. I can say that how? If only one cognition is there, then I will say what? Mic. That is mic. And I cannot talk about fan, I cannot talk about the laptop, I cannot talk about the book. Simultaneously, I can say that I perceive so many things, which means there are cognitions, pieces, isn't it, of cognitions, bits, a frame, isn't it, many. So cognitions vary, objects vary. Your attention is taken from laptop to the mic, the cognition differs, isn't it? Now I have mic cognition, then light cognition, tree cognition. So there are so many. So in waking state itself, thoughts are, vrittis are many. Objects of cognitions are many. So the cognitions are many. But in all these variable cognitions, variable pieces of knowledge, what is invariably present is the cognizer, the knower. The invariably present knower, cognizer, is what? Atma, the consciousness. It's called Pratibodha Vidita, means invariably present in all the variable thoughts. In Atma, this is the basic thing. Like the light, the illuminator light, I don't want to say light the illuminator, okay? The illuminator light is invariably present in all the variable illumined. Also how? Irremovably present. Irremovable also. Indestructibly, irremovably, choicelessly, inevitably, unavoidably, the illuminator light is in and through present in pervading every illumined. And every piece of cognition is what? Invariably pervaded by the knower consciousness. Okay? So we'll come back and see the whole mantra. We'll start from the beginning next class. This is called Purapitika. Purapitika means what now? Before we enter the mantra, we just give some understanding, give you some sort of what is actually the vision of the mantra which is following, what it reveals in general. Okay? And Shankara's Bhashyam will really din. See, look at this, 2.5 pages we have Bhashyam. It's good. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
Really pray, Bhagavan bless all of you with a clear understanding of what is being taught.